Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I want to draw your attention to three people today, three heroes of the faith. The first is the holy prophet Isaiah. When he had a vision of the Lord in the temple in Jerusalem, dread and terror overtakes him. And at the sight of the Lord, he can say nothing but this: "Woe to me. Woe to me, I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." But here's the thing, we don't really think of Isaiah or any of the other prophets or the great heroes of the faith as being men of unclean lips, do we? Probably not the first thing we think of. He was a prophet of the Most High God, for goodness sakes. He was the mouthpiece of God. God commissioned him to go forth and to speak his word to his people. One of the most gifted poets in all of ancient history was the prophet Isaiah. It seems strange to us then, at least it does to me, that God would have his mouthpiece to be a man of unclean lips. Next, we've got Paul, right, in the second epistle, or the second reading, rather. The apostle Paul, throughout his life, pondered just how violently he persecuted the early Christians, our early brothers and sisters. He recalled how brutal he was, how violent he was. And he was moved to deep repentance because he sinned deeply against his brethren and against Jesus. It even came through in his writing multiple times. He said to the church in Corinth, he said, "I am the least of all of the apostles. I am the lowest of every single apostle, unfit even to be called an apostle by you guys. Why? Because I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, I persecuted Jesus himself." 7 times this comes out in Paul's writing. It troubled him deeply. The things that he had done before Jesus Christ came to him and confronted him on the road to Damascus. And in these accounts, we see just how severely he persecuted our early brothers and sisters. In Acts 9, Paul says this, it says this of Paul, it says that Paul breathed threats and murder against the disciples of Jesus. He breathed threats and murder against them. He dragged them from their homes, brought them to Jerusalem for punishment, expended every single effort to force them to blasphemy, to do it publicly. All the while, he was not advocating imprisonment for these people because he wanted them dead. He did not want them to see the inside of a prison cell. He insisted on their death, and many of our faithful brothers and sisters met their end because of Saint Paul. He opposed the name of Jesus with all of his might, even to death. So least of all the apostles, he calls himself. And not many would have disputed it. Simon Peter, wastes no time when he's in the presence of Jesus Christ. He gets right to the point. He says, "Get away from me, Lord. Go away, for I am a sinful man." Now, Peter had plenty of occasions to confess his faults as well. He is the one who chastised the Lord for predicting his own suffering and death. He refused to believe that he would ever deny Jesus. And what did he do? 3 times he denies him. 3 times. Saint Peter, first among the apostles, first bishop of Rome, is not really one we might think to be a model disciple of the Lord. So what's the connection then between these seeming failures, these apparent men who had just failed time and time again, over and over again? They're always falling short. They fall short in their weakness, in their unclean lips, in their steadfastness. The blood-red line running through all of these men is that with these guys, with all of their sin and inadequacy and failure and cowardice, God nevertheless called them into service. Swiftly, too, almost as if he never even hesitates to call them to himself, to commission them, to give them work to do. Isaiah was a man of unclean lips, and Peter denied our Lord. Paul murdered our brothers, murdered our sisters. But God, despite all of this, came to each of them and said, "My grace is upon you. My grace is sufficient for you. And I will do marvelous things with you. No matter how you have failed in the past, I will do great things with you." When we look at Isaiah and Peter and Paul, we see our brothers in the faith. Certainly because of what Christ has done, but maybe even because we might just see a little bit of ourselves in these guys. The ways that we have been these three people throughout our lives. And this is good, because it's then that we see the same God coming to us despite all of our failures, despite all of our weakness and cowardice, coming to us and enveloping us with the same love and the same mercy, and then saying to us, "My grace is sufficient for you too." What sweet, sweet words to hear from the mouth of our Lord. That despite our shortcomings, despite our failures, God still wants us. God still loves us and still comes to us, despite the limitations of our flesh, which are many. God has still chosen to do his work through people like me and you. Now we can think as lowly of ourselves as Isaiah and Peter and Paul did, but whether we do or whether we don't, it doesn't matter one little bit. The only thing that matters, and the only thing that ever will, is how God views you. And because we've been joined to the Son by the power of faith, he looks at us through the lens of his Son, Jesus. Just like he did with Isaiah and Peter and Paul. I mean, we might think ourselves to be the worst person in all of the world, the nastiest person to ever live. But when God looks at us, do you know what he sees? He sees his Son, Jesus. And when he looks at his Son, don't you know he sees us? That's what grace is. That's what grace does. So what we think of ourselves, in a sense, it doesn't matter. Because it's fluid. It changes. Every day it changes every which way the wind blows. But what is vitally important for us to know is this. God does not think so little of us as we do. God's view of our worth is constant and unchanging because Jesus Christ is constant and unchanging. But still, there is so much today that isn't done. People have refused to build up the church, to use Paul's language, to carry the gospel out of here and into the war, into the world, to take it out there and to lift it up, to let that light shine like we were talking about in Bible study this morning. All simply because they have felt that they are just not good enough to do it. Or even worse, that they're not worthy enough to do it. That despite all Christ has done for them, they are not worthy for such a mission, for such a job. They have unclean lips syndrome. They think they are not good enough. We've got to realize that perfection in this life, it's not an option for us. We will never attain to perfection while we still breathe air on this earth. How we feel about our unworthiness or how little we think of ourselves should never stand in between us and God's call to serve. His call for us to get up and go with the gospel. Why? Because God's message is so powerful on its own, it doesn't require a perfect messenger, thanks be to God. It's when we finally embrace this enormous gap, this incredible chasm between God's call and our complete inadequacy, that we finally move from illusion to reality. We move from trying to save ourselves and make ourselves righteous to the realization, to that great epiphany that God by his Son already has. And it's at this realization that our life changes forever, this ascent to the faith, the Lutheran fathers called it. The great burden of self-righteousness, and it is a terrible burden, that burden is finally lifted off of our backs, and we are able to serve him freely, not under compulsion, not under fear, but finally out of love. With Peter's thrice denial of the Lord, and even telling God himself to get away from him, God still came to him solely by grace, made him one of the first disciples, one of his own 12 apostles. And then Bishop of Antioch and the first Bishop of Rome, with the one then who breathed murder against our brothers and sisters. Paul, in the grace and favor of God, was made an apostle. And he was used to preach all over the known world. And then what would he do but pen much of the word of God, of sacred scripture that comes to us still today? And even with the unclean lips of lost Isaiah, God chose to speak his word to his people through that man. It's easy to get caught up in our own sinfulness, especially the sins of our youth that haunt us, that we either haven't confessed or we haven't confessed them well enough. But you are baptized into Jesus. And through the grace of repentance, which is the sinner's return to that pure and holy baptized state of grace, God lays a pure and spotless blanket over you, clothing you with even Jesus' own righteousness. It's not to say that sin doesn't matter, but rather that every time the inadequacy of man goes up against the love and grace of God, no matter how awful, no matter how terrible we perceive ourselves to be, every time God wins, no matter what, so that we are made able to stand upright before our God with our brother Isaiah and to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And we do it in Jesus' name.